Hey everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. How you doing? You still alive? You still on Facebook? How much time are you giving to Facebook for post-election coverage? Don't give too much more. It can consume you and drive you crazy. I can attest to that. Wow, we have a new president. I'm sure you know that if you open your eyes and just get up in the morning. Man, crazy. You know, I've got my feelings and perspectives on it, as does Brad, and we actually shared our feelings on the election results in the last TuneIn episode, in a funny way, in a fun, I don't know, very opinionated conversation. We shared a lot of thoughts and ideas about why it happened, but it happened. So anyway, let's try to fucking get through this. Yeah, comedy has never been more needed, I think, in the world. And Chappelle and his monologue on SNL was a prime example of that. Anyway, go back and listen if you haven't already to all the TuneIn episodes, bonus episodes, just Brad and I, old school. You just got to get the TuneIn app, and you can get all those episodes. So do that. Hope you guys had a great weekend. I was in Wise Guys in Utah. In Salt Lake City and Ogden, Utah, Wise Guys Comedy Club. Had a fucking blast. That club is insane. So fun. Brought my boy Avery Pearson. Did some music. Crowds were amazing. Thank you very much for coming out. Especially the new fan of the week. Super fan. She's listened to every Ailen episode. I think she said twice. She's unbelievable. And sweetest person ever. Came up to the show in Ogden, brought me a gift bag of beefaroni and Pop-Tarts from some stuff in my act. Her name, this week's fan of the week, the About Last Night fan of the week, is Terry Warren. Terry Warren, you know who you are. Big ALN fan. The best hugger. So sweet. She freaked out when she met me. That never happens. That was it was cool. She's the greatest. Terry, thanks for listening to the podcast. Thanks for coming to the show. And shoot me your email, an address, email aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com with your address, and we'll send you some ALN merch and some goodies. So thanks for listening. Utah was a blast. Thanks for coming out. I'll be back soon. Keith Stubbs out there does a great job and had a blast. Today's episode is an episode with a guy we've been wanting to do it for a long time. He is a comedy fucking beast. He's one of these guys that everybody likes to watch. He's been killing it for a long time. He's, man, just one of those guys that has so much insight into the business and comedy because of his story of just working the clubs. And he was a 7-Up spokesman for a while. His stories from the road and growing up in Chicago, working in New York, and just working alongside the greats, and how he would take that in and how he would apply it to his own life and work, working with Robin Williams. When we get these Robin Williams stories, it's really unbelievable. And our guest had some of those, as well as an amazing just approach to comedy. If you're a young comic or someone who's thinking about it or even just somebody who loves comedy, our guest breaks it down in a way that really makes you think. And he's hilarious. Go see him live any chance you get. I'm talking about Godfrey. That's right, baby, Godfrey. Just goes by Godfrey because he's fucking, when you see him and meet him, you're like, oh yeah, dude, you're just everything that comes with that name. Nice dude, personable, hard-ass worker. And again, this episode was a lot of fun. We've been trying to get him for a while, but he lives in New York, so the timing worked out. He went out of his way and crushed it. So enjoy the hell out of this episode. Follow Godfrey on Twitter, at Godfrey Comedian. Follow me on Twitter, at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad for Brad. At ALN Podcast, at ALN Podcast on Instagram, AdamRay33 on Instagram, Brad Williams Comic on Instagram. Brad this weekend is going to be in Burbank, California at Flappers Comedy Club, November 18th and 19th. Get your tickets at flapperscomedyclub.com. I this weekend will be in Timonium, Maryland at Magoobie's Joke House. That's right, Timonium, Maryland. I think it's not too far from Baltimore. At Magoobie's Joke House, November 17th, 18th, and 19th. Come see me. And the next week after that, I'll be at the Tempe Improv in Tempe, Arizona. Get your tickets. All this information at AdamRayTV.com. AstoyMerchandise.com for all your ALN merch. Hat shirts, mugs, posters. Bring them to the shows. We'll sign them. Signed a bunch of shirts this weekend. I love it when you guys bring merch out. It's just a cool way to support the pod. And we love it. Man, so many great episodes Coming up in the next few weeks, we've got a bunch in the can. The Neil Patrick Harris episode in New York went incredible. Can't wait to drop that soon. So make sure you're subscribed and tell a friend. Tell somebody today, just a friend, a Facebook message, post about the podcast, pass it on, pay it forward so that the show can keep growing and you can, you know, make somebody's day in these tough Trump times. Fuck. Now that we got the tour dates out of the way, the election results out of the way, the Twitter handles, the merch info, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the one and only Godfrey.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. It's about last night.
No, but there's a switch for the noise canceling.
Oh yeah, I have Bose noise canceling from 10 years ago.
Oh, really?
They still work, too. They're still dope. And they shut off the noise, and you...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're like...
I got a pair from my dad, and he's like, I don't like it. He's like, it sucks out too much noise. I'm like, what? He's 72. He's just like...
That's the point.
I guess he's just so used to some background noise.
Yeah, yeah. You want,
that's like
you
saying,
want to
like,
be aware, like,
yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
But to me, that's like saying, like, she was absolutely no teeth in the blowjob. I like some.
Well, that's, yeah.
I like some just to know, just to know they're there.
That's how your dad was raised, though.
Just to know that she has a little passion.
Yeah, exactly. Then, you know.
Remember the first toothy blowjob? Like,
the sad part is I do.
Toothy? Fuck. Yeah, I was like, all right.
Yeah. And like I've never done it, so I don't know how difficult it is. But it got frustrating.
Ooh, I just want to go yuck to that one.
That really, was, right? Yeah. Back to Robin Williams stories.
Like, we both were like, "What?" I love that.
I was trying to keep the ball bouncing.
Damn it! And I'm looking at you and your poster, and then you, and then that thing you just said.
It is weird that we sit below our faces.
That's dope. That's fucking dope,
wasn't
though.
Planned.
I
mean,
in front, that shit is hot.
Well, it was like we made this for like a live show, and then once my roommate split, and this was like my place, and this is where we were doing it all the time. I was like, I want to make it feel at least as close to like somewhat of a studio.
Well, you got the Indian restaurant thing with the Christmas lights. It's fucking weird.
I'm still a single dude.
I like how you have that fucking holiday spirit around your dumb poster. You guys are really bugging me right now. Oh,
Chinese restaurant.
Do carols go with this fucking poster? Yeah. Jesus.
And he's Jewish. That's the ironic part.
Are you Jewish?
Yeah.
I mean,
Ray's not a Jewish last name. It's my dad's last name.
A lot of times you can't tell. You can be Italian. You got because it's that look. You got that Mediterranean. You can be. And you got that.
If I got a beard, I'm
about
like
to be a terrorist.
Yeah,
fucking
for sure.
5 o'clock shadow shit. You got that? I did it. You know, you can be any. You can pass for anything.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It's a compliment.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, if I say
diverse.
You look Italian, would that be awesome?
Yeah, I don't know. Would it be? I don't know many Italians.
If a Jewish person goes, man, if someone goes, you look Italian, I think they go, good. Fuck, that's dope.
I don't take.
Because to be Italian is like amazing.
Right. I don't look.
What are you?
I'm boring. I'm German and Welsh.
But who sees you and thinks
so
that
white.
First?
But
you know what's sad is that you're a small person, but people don't see you as a race.
Yeah.
They'd be like, you're not anything. You're just like a small person.
Yeah, you got your own category.
You're a midget. Isn't that a race?
Like, yeah.
Aren't you midget? Like, if you say I'm Irish, you're like, no, they don't come like you.
No. You guys have meetings or a march or something? You guys, who's the midget Al Sharpton? Yeah. Who's that guy?
What's funny, I like the fact that the midget jokes aren't working as much anymore because it's normal.
Yeah.
No one cares anymore.
Yeah.
And that lets you know when you do a midget joke, you know, because first of all, when I saw Brad in Montreal banging with two women at the same time, I said, done with that joke. That motherfucker be what?
Oh yeah,
that motherfucker is a pimp.
Now let me ask you though: when you saw a midget fucking, did you make a wish like you're supposed to, or did you just?
I didn't ever. I've seen midget porn, but it was like a black dude who was a gangster. It was dope.
What?
Shit. Yeah.
Have you seen this, Brad? Do you know?
I think, like, it was some
probably know him.
You know when there were the porn DVDs, but I'm sure they're on it was just like midget porn, and it was like a little black dude, gangster motherfucker, like, and he had an angry face, like, it was great.
Well, I mean, of course he's angry. He's black and a dwarf. That's a lot of struggle in your life.
Right. It must be a lot of struggle. To be like entitled white midget privilege.
Yeah. That's a real thing.
I don't know what you heard about me, but I got WPMP. Is it white midget privilege? WMP. WMP.
I got it, man. I got that white midget privilege.
I wonder if there is like white, because there's that black small person. I don't know what you want us to, but you're a comic. You don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I don't, there's a black midget dude that works a lot, you know, in Bad Santa. That guy's been around a long
time. Tony Cox.
Tony Cox is like a veteran. He's like in his 60s. What is he?
Yeah,
he's like in his 60s. So
me, myself, and Irene, and like a
he's always worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the time. Like on Fridays, he's always been that guy.
Yeah.
So I wonder, like, for him, like, he's working more than white.
Yeah,
like, maybe. But then there's the dude from Game of Thrones, the bad motherfucker.
Dude, that's...
But he has handsome midget face.
Yeah.
Like, he has, like, super, jawbone. Like, jawbone. Yeah. Like, damn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He didn't have the big fucking forehead or the...
He got the Peyton Manning.
Yeah. I got the Peyton.
You got the Peyton Manning, I mean, but that shit got is the money, though.
Too, dude, right? If I walk into a Papa John's and yell at Omaha... I got fucking free pizza. They're like, I thought he was bigger. He looked bigger on TV.
You got the Manning. You know when he takes his helmet off, that red shit? Oh, yeah. He's all got those plays he's been thinking about?
Yeah, he's got, yeah.
It's amazing.
When Manning would take his helmet off, he would have like the Illuminati triangle like burnt into his forehead. You're like, okay, he's a part of some shit.
I'm just talking about Manning today.
I'm sorry.
How much do you think he's made more from endorsements or football?
Oh, man.
He's probably with that Papa John's. It's got to be like Gatorade for like, what Jordan was.
Yeah, I don't know what his bank account on either of them, but it's big.
The fact that after the Super Bowl, he was thanking Papa John's and Budweiser.
First of all, that's huge. Then he's going to probably go into operations for some NFL team.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be like Elway.
Yeah.
So, or he's going to announce, he can do whatever
he wants. That brand, to do like SNL and the roast and have that, like, that just added to it. And he already was funny in commercials, and it's like every brand.
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably turning down endorsements.
And his retirement jokes are hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? Those commercials.
When he's all when he's on the robe.
Yo, what's up? He's like, I'm working. I got to play. Oh, okay. let me know.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to make nachos.
Cupcakes,
no.
The cupcake shit.
Yeah.
Where he's with JJ. JJ Watts.
Yeah.
The shit.
And he's not too proud. He's just like, fuck it. I'll make cupcakes for a check.
It's amazing. And the music that's playing.
It's perfect.
Those commercials. Oh,
he's
figured it out.
I mean, you with the 7-Up campaign.
I did that years ago.
For sure.
And it's so hard to get a campaign. You know,
that's what I'm saying.
I'm just kind of an unknown dude, kind of. And I got it. And it was a big deal. It was to be a spokesperson for a product is so hard to get.
Yeah.
You're not even.
And a reputable product like that's been around forever and it's so popular.
And it's so great. And it's so funny how 7-Up is a Southern product in Texas.
Oh, shit.
Deep South and British, because in Cadbury Schweppes owns them in London. And it's so funny how it's such a white, this is Southern white, but then it was mainly black people. It was CeeLo.
And it was Holder. Was it Orlando Jones right before
Orlando
you?
Orlando Jones, Sugar Ray Leonard, 7-Up Dr. Pepper, same company. They use black people all the time, which is mad weird.
Did you ever ask them why? Or they?
No. I just want to get – fuck, am I going to ask them to ruin that?
Just get the check.
Say, hey, why you hire black people? Okay, enough of that.
Enough of this one.
Why are you going to ask us questions now? We hired you. Kirk, why am I using that voice? That sounds like a corporate white voice. All right, since you want to fucking shake up the boat.
A lot of them sound like that, though.
Sit on down with the 401k.
Yeah, people can talk that shit, but sometimes...
No, you know, dude.
I remember Jay Moore used to do this joke about how black people imitate white people, which was one of the funniest jokes, because Jay Moore would say, hey, have you heard like some of the black comics doing white people? Because apparently we sound like this. And you do. Some of you...
Enough do...
Stereotypes for a reason.
Yeah, that joke became a reality.
I've heard some white dudes talk. I go... Yo, that's real.
You're the guy.
There's some white dudes that.
Yeah.
You know, because there's the like, yo, what's up, bro? There's that. But then there's like, God damn it, let me tell you.
Yeah. And you're like, yo,
well, I got to tell you, I went to the steakhouse last week, and they had this, I don't know what the garnish was, but it was, Tracy, do you remember what that garnish was?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you're like, oh, yeah. you get a little starstruck. Yeah. You're like, oh, you're the guy from the bits.
Yeah. You know, there are black dudes that talk like that. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, I've met him. They're like, hey, man, what's
yeah.
up?
Yeah, that's crazy.
They, I know, they think I'm white. Every time I get, you know, when I get hired, they're surprised.
There are black
my first
articulate
name is James.
People like talk about, yeah,
my first name's James McBride, and I go to the interview, and these guys just get really surprised.
Have you ever heard the way Jackie Robinson talked?
No,
you didn't. Dude, you should watch footage.
Like Tony Gwynn. Tony Gwynn-esque?
You see how Tony Gwynn was like,
yeah, you know, it's really good. I'm really proud that I'm
a hitter.
Yeah,
he got the bat.
Yeah,
the hitting king.
Yeah.
He talked like that. Jackie Robinson. Talk mm-hmm. like that. He was like, oh, I'm really happy to be playing for the Dodgers. You ever?
Wow.
Yeah, he's very articulate. That's why he
do you think
pet.
That's why? Yeah, no, because if he had come out and be like, I'm stealing home, motherfuckers.
Yeah, that was, then like, yeah, that was how some of like the Negro baseball players like Josh Gibson and Cool Papa Bell, they had that Southern twang to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Jackie Robinson went to UCLA,
yep.
his brother Mac, and he was very educated. So that's why Branch Rickey picked him. He wasn't necessarily the best guy.
Right.
But representationally, if that's a word.
Yeah.
He was the guy because he was like, "How am I? I want to integrate baseball, which is racist as fuck."
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the first blacks in baseball were in 1884. It was Moses
really?
Walker and Wilbur Walker.
Wow!
And then the commissioner, oh, I think during Calvin Coolidge, one of those Klan type presidents, the commissioner at the time banned blacks from baseball for 60 years until 1947. That's when Jackie Robinson came.
No shit.
Because we were in baseball in 1884. Wilbur and Moses Walker.
Wow.
It's not even February, and I'm hooking you up with some black history.
Man, this is like
a wonderful PSA.
We have to pay it forward, Brad.
That's why
February
Kansas
comes.
City is so dope, because they have the Negro League Baseball Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh.
It's on 18th and Vine. If I have the pleasure to do Kansas City Improv,
yeah.
I go to the Negro League Baseball thing. That's my thing. I have to go there.
No shit.
It's fucking
it's
amazing.
Cathartic, huh?
Yeah.
It's so just because inspiring. It's like black baseball players.
Why don't people know that there was all that before, or is
well,
it no?
Why don't people know it? Well, they purposely hide that shit. Mm-hmm. You know, the first
they want to put they want Jackie. They want to be a big
right. The first night games were in Negro League baseball. It wasn't whites. The Negro
it
League
was
baseball
always day games.
It was yeah. Blacks created night games. You know what I mean?
Kind of ironic, but sure.
Yeah, yeah. They don't tell you that. And Josh Gibson hit more home runs than Babe Ruth. He was the black Babe Ruth, but they didn't allow him because he was black. And then they had
he was doing it against black pitchers.
Black pitchers.
Which is harder to
way better.
Yeah, exactly.
And what Cool Papa Bell was
Satchel
like,
Paige, my God.
Yeah, Satchel Paige came into the Major League Baseball in his 40s, and he was still striking motherfuckers out because mm-hmm. they finally let blacks in. You know what I mean? There was Jackie Robinson. There was Newcomb. There was Newcomb. And
Dwight
there
Newcomb,
was,
yeah.
Yeah, and so
you can tilt that up, by the way, if you want to.
Oh,
the mic.
Yeah, and yeah, the thing is they say Cool Papa Bell was so fast that he would turn out the lights and get into bed before the room got dark. That's how fast. Ali used to say that. I'm so fast. Getting to bed before the room gets dark. I'm fast, man. I'm telling you, I'm so fast. Too ugly to be the champ. I'm the greatest. I told everybody. Oh, and they're not listening. So
that's unbelievable.
That's a fantastic Ali.
So
that
like is so important. You know, 1884. You can look it up. Wilbur and Moses Walker.
There's been no movie. I'm sure there's been documentaries.
No, but they finally. Ken Burns, who's the greatest documentary maker, has baseball. If you've heard, there's baseball.
Yes.
The thing on baseball.
Yes.
It's a long. So I think it's on there. I haven't finished it, but yeah, Jackie Robinson came in 1947. We were banned for 60 years. He says no black people. Then they had an exhibition game,
mm-hmm.
the white players, and they got their ass whooped by the black players.
Right.
They got smoked, and
you
they were
think?
Like, they got their ass. And here, I got another thing for you. Just going to fuck your head up.
Okay.
In 1895, some freed slaves, you know, Harriet Tubman freed a lot of slaves into Canada.
Mm-hmm.
In the upstate, because she lived, I just was there at her grave in her house in Auburn, New York. I was doing a gig in Auburn, New York, and I asked them, and I've been there before, and I was like, hey, because they do this comedy series once a month
mm-hmm.
in this theater. And I said, hey, who what's historic here? I love going to
any
historic
any famous
shit.
Graves?
And she go, famous house. She goes, oh, Harriet Tubman's house is, I said,
holy
are you fucking
shit.
Kidding me? She's about to be on the $20 bill.
Hell yeah.
And so I went over to the house. And I went to the grave. It was at night, but I was like, fuck that.
Yeah.
It was before my show, like an hour before my show.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I have to see her grave. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Sure.
And so she freed slaves up into Toronto and all that. So there's some freed slaves moved up into Nova Scotia and created a hockey team. You can look it up. 1895 colored hockey team. They created the game of hockey. Black dudes. Look that shit up.
What?
It'll fuck yeah. I got a picture on my phone. I want every white dude that's listening to this goddamn podcast that got that too.
Hey, everybody knows there was no black guys up there.
I don't think there were no blacks. Well, hey, there were coloreds, eh?
Well, there's a
look up colored.
There's a book about them that's called Black Ice, which I don't know how long it took them to get that title. Yeah. What do we call it? Black Ice. Perfect.
By the way,
done. Yeah, some guy named Fosty George.
I'll show you a picture. I got a picture in my thing of the black hockey team. It's gonna fuck.
Is that for when white guys talk shit to you? You just pull that one out.
Yep. There you go.
Yeah. Look at that.
They created the game of hockey.
Holy there it is. Shit. Welcome to Ghetto Uprising, Black Ice.
What year was that?
This is 1910, but 1895.
Yeah.
They were playing. And I got friends that are black that play hockey. I grew up with some guys that are black that play hockey. And then there was my friend, this guy named Chris Nelson, who did all the choreography, black dude for Miracle with Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
He's black dude, big black dude with dreads, was a hockey dude. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I have another, and I'm Nigerian, right?
Yeah.
So
you are
Kyle
African.
Yes. Kyle Okoposo, Iginla, there's a lot of Nigerian hockey players.
No shit.
Just
because Harriet Tubman freed them up there?
No. That's just, these are free, the regular.
Oh, okay. I don't know the year. Okay.
They flew on a plane.
Okay. You
know, these are young hockey players that come to see my shows. And there's some Nigerian guys like, yeah, man, playing for hockey, man.
That's awesome.
There's P.K. Subban.
Well, yeah, P.K.'s a legend.
But there's Grand Fuhrer is one of the greatest goalies. For the
Edmonton Oilers.
I've been to
the
Toronto. I've been to
Wayne
the
Gretzky
Hall of Fame
years.
Hockey.
Why aren't there more black hockey players?
Well, here's the thing.
It's cold.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
First of all, it's very expensive because there's plenty of black people in cold areas.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's expensive as fuck.
To do an organized pickup game in hockey, you need more.
You need
basketball, you can go out just you and a ball, right?
Basketball and, yeah, basketball and football, you just need a football.
Yep.
And, you know how you play.
Yeah.
And it just makes sense. Like, they're saying that there's a lot of a decline in African-American baseball players. And I said, I think I know the reason. Oh, the racism always plays a part, but I think more is because black people, like, if you're talking about, like, kids from underprivileged neighborhoods, baseball, football, and basketball are easier ways to make money.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, wait in minor league. I had friends that were in the minors, farm league. It takes so long.
And
you may not even make it to the majors.
Yeah. I mean, Bryce Harper didn't play that long in the minors, but he still had to go to the minors.
He was the top prospect. But it takes so long in baseball. I played baseball 12 years. I was a shortstop. And I love baseball, but it's a long – but football, it's like, listen, I want to get my mom a house. I want to get out of the fucking ghetto.
Right.
I'm a running back. I run a 4-2. I'm getting the fuck out. I get my 3-5-year contract.
Done.
Boom, get my money done. So I think it's the situation.
Yeah.
More than they need the money faster. Super racist. Yeah, it's there. But if a lot of black people wanted to play baseball, they would bum rush that shit.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
But so there's not that type of money in hockey, no?
There's a lot of money in hockey, but I think that it's expensive.
Yeah, I played hockey from age 8 to age 15.
My friend's dad, he has his son in hockey. He said it's fucking a lot of money, man.
Oh, yeah. Sure, all the pads.
It depends on what position you play.
Yeah.
That shit is expensive. Yeah. And I was in that Benders. I was in the first season of Benders. Well, then it didn't come back. It's a hockey. Dennis Leary's people produced it.
Oh, shit.
It was Andrew Schultz, Chris DiStefano.
Yeah.
It's about a sucky hockey team. So I played the goalie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the douchebag goalie who runs the rink. You know, I was wearing the equipment, asking questions, and this shit, I'm the goalie. So shit costs so much money.
Yeah.
So that's the reason.
Yeah.
You know, what if you have a family of 5 kids, they all want to play hockey.
Oh,
you're like,
fuck
holy
that.
Shit.
Yeah.
So there's expense. A lot of it is expense and interest. And what do I need to do? I can play football. I can tackle a motherfucker and get $10 million.
Yeah,
fuck this.
Right.
I'm going to go play football.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So that's a lot of the reasons. The situation.
It's cooler in the States, you know, to be a football player than a hockey player.
You said you played baseball for 12 years?
Yeah, I played from Little League up to like high school.
That's dope.
And then I went into track and field and football. So,
dude, you must be excited as hell right now. Because I know you grew up in Chicago.
You see the shirt I'm wearing?
Yeah.
And that's rare. This is one of the shirts you have to be in Chicago to get this across
old school
the
Cubs shirt. Field. Yeah.
And where I grew up, are you from Chicago?
Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Where I grew up. I grew up around Wrigley Field. My high school is 15 minutes away from Wrigley Field.
Wow.
Because there's signs from by my high school. And we have the Kerry Woods baseball stadium, the pitcher.
Yeah.
He donated because we have my high school is 5,000 kids. I went to the biggest high school. It's Lane Tech. It's like that's number one academically and sports-wise. And it always competes against 5,000 Michelle Obama's high school.
Oh, really?
Oh, no
yeah,
kidding.
Whitney Young. So, and it's a predominantly black high school, which is it's like the smartest people go there too. So, that high school, Cubs, my life was the Cubs because I grew up around, I used to walk to the games, Harry Carey, Jack Brickhouse, Milo Hamilton, Steve Stone. Harry Carey was at the White Sox first with Hawk Harrelson, then came to the Cubs.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he wasn't,
that was a big
it was
deal.
Jack Brickhouse, it was these other cats. Mm-hmm. It was Lou Boudreau. And all that. I was a baseball head. Like my baseball shit is nasty.
Did you love Andre Dawson? He was one of my favorite players.
When he was at Montreal Expos.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
Tim Raines came to the Sox.
Damn. I'm
talking about Warren Cromartie. I mean, I'm a baseball
head.
Like,
so did you cry when they make it to the World Series?
I was like, I think I would have done it if we were there.
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't watch the games because I get too fucked up. I get too angry.
Oh, you're like too into it.
Because the Cubs have fucked up so many times. We got swept by the Mets last year, which was some bullshit.
And
we're better. We should be able to beat the fuck out of the Indians. Like, they can beat them. Like, like that 5-1,
that should be every game.
What should it be?
It should be that. Well, and
we're better than them.
Well, that's what happened. I mean, because I'm a Dodger fan, and like after game 3, it's like you guys woke the fuck up.
We
and
just
then,
were like, stop choking. It's like I think there's a point where you're like, we could make it, and there's maybe a failure thing hits you. I really believe that. Like your mind goes, you don't make it this year. You can't do that. But I think that this the manager is so good.
Joe
Madden's so dope. I think he's like, listen, you got to get past that. I mean, you know what I mean? Because we're that good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that. It's like, beat the Indians. Fuck that. The Dodgers, to me, and the Giants were harder.
Yeah.
They were the tougher team.
Yeah. Yeah, you got fucking
whoop the
Kershaw
Indians. Whoop them. That. Fuck that. Let's get the fucking World Series, man. Just get it, man.
Were you a funny guy when you played sports? Like,
yeah, I was always funny.
Yeah.
I was always funny.
Talking shit to people.
Especially when I was in college. I went to University of Illinois, played a little college football. And
the Illini.
Like, and we have to do all the freshmen, just like in the NFL, the rookies, you have to do a talent show.
Oh, okay.
Shake your head. That happens in NFL too. You ever see Hard Knocks.
Yeah, they do Hard Knocks.
They make
great.
You do shit for them.
And usually, like they do, like some guy tries to do an impression of the coach.
Yeah, I did impressions of the coaches.
Yeah, that's what I would
do. Oh, I murdered
too.
That shit. Yeah. I imitated everybody, man. I was like, and everyone,
and they
like,
love it.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, you know, the coach was like, man. You just think about doing comedy. I go, yeah, because I'm not playing a lot. So, fuck you. You know, that's a hint. Like,
yeah,
you should keep on that comedy shit, buddy.
Yeah, most time the coaches are like,
receiver coach. He talked like this. He was like, listen, guys, I understand. It was Coach. What the fuck was his name? He was hilarious. He was so funny. He would be like this. He goes, let me tell you something. Wide receivers, when you're blocking, I want you to bubble their snot, okay? Bubble their snot. Like,
I don't know what that means, but okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
Come under him.
Okay.
Bam, hit him.
Right.
He goes, got to bubble their snot, okay? I want to see some snot bubbled. That was the coaches have like their little thing.
Yeah,
sure. And they're not trying to be funny, which is so good. Like, they come up with these phrases. He came up with that at home and was like, honey, what do you think about bubble their snot tomorrow?
Yeah,
I'm going to drop down the kids.
He was funny as shit. He was like, and he'd be like, all right. Struggling there. You're struggling. He used to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd go, yeah, I saw you struggling there on that route. You're struggling there.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to go up the seam, make it. You got to fucking hit it right there. And boom, you got to catch it and turn to the outside.
Yeah, right.
And he was just so cool. He was a fucking cool. Yeah, I just loved his little. And I imitated him. I murdered that shit. It went like this. And then when I said, yeah, you got to bubble their snack. You're struggling. Dudes were like, yo.
Lost it, yeah. Yeah.
So I was imitating. And then that's when I went back to Chicago, because it's outside of Chicago. U of I is like 2.5 hours. I was a psych major, pre-med psych major.
Oh,
so,
shit.
You know, so I was like, Yeah, I said I was sitting in a restaurant with my buddy. I was in a comedy team for a year.
Like
it's called Godfrey and Alexander.
What? It was a duo. Team. Yeah.
Because I was like, we were sitting in this restaurant downtown Chicago, and I was like, man, I'm thinking about doing comedy. And he was like, well, I've tried it before at this place down the street called the Funny Firm.
Oh, he was the veteran.
But he had done it a few times, not like seriously. And so I say, hey, man, why don't we do a comedy team? They haven't seen that in a minute. Two black dudes doing a comedy team. And so we made up some sketches, and we 4 hours later, we were at the open mic waiting. We were number like 8 or 9. We took a number out of a hat. Went up, shit my pants, but we murdered. We did well. We murdered for our shitty little joke.
Yeah, right.
Because I did impersonations. It was like we cheated. He played a hypnotist. Can you imagine if Bill Cosby and I was like, great. Yeah, see, a bunch of up, and Richard Pryor got, damn, you niggas is crazy shit. I was doing all that.
Oh my God.
I did Carson, Johnny Carter. Like, wow, good stuff. I did not know that.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, rapid fire.
I was, and people were like,
yo. That's not cheating, though. That's what you knew. And like, when
it wasn't cheating, but it was like,
you hadn't yet honed
your. Because as comedians now, we're going, that was cheating, but it wasn't cheating.
No.
But
you're good at it.
It was like, first time I killed so hard, I was nervous. Like, what the fuck? It worked.
Right.
And wait, then, so this was your first time on a stage?
First time on a stage.
Wow.
I murdered. Like, it wasn't, we both murdered. Like, it wasn't even, we got applause breaks. We were like, and we're sitting there like,
I never had that feeling before.
It was like, fuck,
So did you go, all right, that was cool, that was a one-time cool feeling, or you're like, all right,
but we went back. We came back because we became the featured act of amateur night. We kept coming back, and then we ate our balls on one show, and we were like, oh, this is what it's like to not do well.
Yeah.
We were like,
heard about this, yeah.
Fuck. Yeah. So, and I think the last time I bombed was probably that day.
No shit.
Yeah,
just like
19
really
years. I don't think I've ever again.
That's awesome,
nope.
Man.
Wow.
Nope.
That's awesome.
I can knock on wood. I'm honest. Being honest, I've never.
Of course.
Nah. Even in the shittiest crowds, I've always come through.
Dude, I remember the first time I saw you, and I think it was in New York. I might have been at the Cellar when I was just like a year into doing. I was because I started out here doing the Bringer shows,
yeah,
and then I moved to New York with a girl, and I was just doing all the open mics,
yeah.
But I was going to the shows,
yeah,
and. I mean, yeah, dude, you have, I'm sure you were that comfortable, I feel like, from day one.
Yeah.
Like, there's a presence and an owning of the stage that you have, and an ease of confidence that you're like,
yeah, that's why. Yeah, it's because I have it's a conversation for me.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Everybody's style is different, but that's what I love about New York, being in New York City, because we're very conversational dudes, man.
Yeah.
Like, we're very, like, we want to go with twisted shit. We got shit in our minds, and we don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna talk about this today.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna do it. Like we don't worry about who's there. Fuck that. Because the comedy people in New York come for they're comedy heads in New York.
Yeah.
People, the Cellar is packed every day, every night.
Yeah. Yeah, not just Saturday and Friday.
For the past 7 years.
Yeah.
8 years. It's packed in the middle of the week. And now they've opened up the Village Underground around the corner. Mm-hmm. Now they have Fat Black Pussycat. They've gotten rid of the music. Fat Black Pussycat, there's comedy. Village Underground, there's comedy.
Wow.
Around the corner. Now we do an hour. We can book an hour and charge people. Work on your hour. You can work on your hour at the top or the bottom during the week.
And
that's
then
amazing. There's 2, 4, 5 shows. Maybe all 10 same, shows a night.
Yeah, all in the same square block.
In the same, yeah. Not counting the other 10 comedy clubs.
Yeah.
So it's like you're just at the point where you're like, I got this. I mean, what? what are you talking about?
Yeah, New York also provides, a daily opportunity to talk about.
Of course.
One of the first bits I saw you doing was about, like, the bums on the subway and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was so – and I literally, in the year I'd been there, I mean, it was like – so relatable, and also even if you haven't been on a subway, you're just like
and everybody has a subway joke.
Yes,
everybody has that. In LA, everybody has LA people ain't shit, phony motherfuckers. What angle are you coming
exactly.
at?
Exactly, mm-hmm.
That's the thing I take pride in with New York comics. It's the angle at which you come at.
Yeah,
like everybody has that joke, but what angle? Because Kurt Metzger is going to come at an angle. You're like, God damn, Kurt, you fucked up.
Yeah.
Dave Attell's going to come at some shit like,
right.
Yo.
How he does, yeah.
Dave Attell's mind is like, are you fucking kidding
amazing,
me right
yeah.
now?
Yeah.
That's why Dave's pictures is everywhere in everybody's comedy club. There's a picture of Dave Attell. And Dave won't even show up at that motherfucker. But they got a picture of Dave Attell because that motherfucker, I work with Dave all the time.
Yeah.
I'm around Dave Attell all the time. I'm telling you, dog, when you see that kind of shit all the time.
Yeah.
Or Chappelle, like, we're all around each other. Colin, I was just with Colin last week watching his new one-man show. But Colin Quinn put me on how to milk a joke. He taught me that. That's why I can
really?
That shit about my dad.
Yeah.
Because Colin helped me with that.
No shit.
Colin
okay.
saw me doing it and said, that's going to separate you from everybody. He goes, now what you need to do is break all that shit down.
It's amazing when you meet a guy like Colin who's truly like a joke technician.
Joke technician.
Like he can break it down and like, okay,
I'm giving
you
that dummy
this
some
bar.
Props, that yeah. motherfucker. He's like this. Let me tell you, I'm fucking, I don't give a fucking shit. I fucking hurt you. And you know, and the great Greg Giraldo.
Thought he was my
gave me mad
guy.
Love. Greg, when I was around Greg,
yeah.
Patrice was my big brother. Even though we were the same age, Patrice would call, because he's big brother, because he's bigger than me. So Patrice would be like calling me, you know, after the roast, he called me. We talked for an hour. But I was around that shit. Jim Norton, all these guys, these are the guys I'm around. Whether we're close now or not, but
you're still the guys he came up
Bill
with.
Bill Burr
yeah.
came up with us.
Yeah.
Burr came up. Even Cook Day was here in New York a lot, but then he finally moved out here.
Mm-hmm.
But
and what is it about being around all that? And I mean, like,
just you're always trying. It's like being around the best rappers,
right?
The best hip hop artists. You want to come with the coldest lines. Like, if I'm around Method Man, Redman, Raekwon, Big Daddy Kane, I'm gonna try to be the fucking coldest dude. Like, I gotta, you know, Big Daddy's gonna be like, yo, you know what I mean?
Sure, I know about
Big
Daddy Kane.
I can burn in the sea like an erection. You're going to be like, oh, how do I come with that? Then you got to go, yo, I'm coming from a site. It's like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like
you're always trying to compete with something.
So now I'm going to come at an angle.
It's a healthy
BJ
competitive.
BJ Okerson just murdered with some fucking crowd work shit.
Yeah.
God damn. I'm going to come with, like, now what angle am I coming at? Chappelle just, okay, fuck. Damn. Colin just, oh, shit. And,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, that's why I've worked with Brad.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
Crush
that motherfucker had me rolling, though. God damn. Brad did Montreal. And he destroyed.
I saw him at the Dirty Show like 3 years ago.
He black comic destroyed.
When people coming out of there.
Yeah. Yeah.
He black comedy destroyed in Canada.
That was so much fun that
Listen,
year.
Listen, man. Let me tell you what this motherfucker kept doing.
I know the story, but yeah.
So he's doing his little routine at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
People going nuts.
Yeah.
This motherfucker takes off his shirt. He goes, Montreal.
But like I said, like
I know,
a pro wrestler.
Ass, yeah, yeah. But he does this
I've
little flex and he goes, Montreal.
I was trying to flex every muscle in my upper body like, Montreal. Like I would come
they went
back.
Nuts, though, right?
It was, oh,
this is at the end of the set.
Yeah. At the end of the set.
Was this during a lap dance or just at the end of the set?
At the end of the entire set. Yeah.
He goes, Montreal.
Yeah.
You just were feeling it so hard. You were like,
the
what
only
else?
One that kept fucking with going.
Dude, and then for the rest of the week, I kept doing it, but just to make you laugh.
Like it was like, making me laugh. That's incredible. I go, Montreal.
Just flexing
but
every
I'm not
muscle.
Saying that LA dudes aren't. Funny like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I
no, it's
like
just a different
shit.
Attitude. Yep. Yeah.
Hey, Brad. What's going on, Adam?
I got some exciting news.
Holy crap, they're making a Mighty Ducks 4?
No, but now I'm just really upset that they're not.
Oh, they should.
Brad and I are back doing exclusive episodes of the About Last Night podcast on TuneIn.
That's right, and these are episodes with just Adam and myself. No guests, just us hanging out, shooting the shit, updating you on our lives, and most importantly, being funny.
Yeah, the OG way, the way this podcast got started. We took a little break, but we are back doing exclusive episodes, just Brad and Adam. And you can get these episodes where, Brad?
You can get these exclusive episodes on the TuneIn app. That's
Woo!
Right. Just download the TuneIn app. TuneIn is spelled T-U.
T-U.
T-U what? T-U-N-E-I-N. Download that TuneIn app. Type in About Last Night, and you can get these exclusive episodes. And remember, they're only on TuneIn. They are not available on iTunes, our website, or anywhere else. Just TuneIn.
That's why it's special. That's why it's exclusive. Speaking of exclusive, continue to enjoy this amazing episode of the About Last Night podcast with me, Adam Ray.
And me, Brad Williams.
But there's a lot of times in L.A., you do comedy because, oh, hey, man, there might be somebody in the audience. I don't know. I might want to do my sitcom-y type shit. Maybe I want to, you know, they can see a show. I really believe that. It is
a little bit more of catering to the room.
It's the way the city is designed. It's not no one's. It's not anyone's fault.
It's just. I mean, and there's a reason why as comics we could see a guy go up and go like, oh, okay, he's from New York. Like,
you always know.
Just based on the style, we can be
you always know.
Yeah, and it's so weird because even here we can tell like, okay, that's a store guy, that's a improv guy, that's a Laugh Factory guy.
What I would do in L.A. is I would always try to keep the style New York by going to West Side Comedy Theater.
Yeah,
that was one of my favorite spots
because they don't give it up. Mm-hmm. They sit there like that, and I go, it's perfect.
Yeah.
I don't want you giving it up quick.
No.
I want to earn that shit. I want to pull it out of you.
You don't like an audience that's too hot, huh?
Not super hot.
Yeah.
It's a real creepy thing with us. Because me, like Dave will get off stage and goes, what did you think about him? And I go, oh, they were cool. And something like that. And sometimes if they're super hot, like super hot, we almost get annoyed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it's like, whoa!
Yeah.
I'm like...
like let me work for this.
It's a very weird thing.
It is. And because it almost... and. Because as comics, we've been working hard at winning audiences over for so long that it's basically like if you walked up to a girl and just said, hey, how are you? And she goes, oh, my God, we need to go fuck right now. You'd be like, whoa.
Yeah.
I want to earn it.
Yeah.
But then you go, wait a minute. I've worked hard enough.
Yeah, maybe I brought it right away.
I should be able to rip.
Totally.
But what we like is when we have a difficult audience and we kill.
Yeah, and then we win. Yeah.
We like that. Because I've had comics do this, like... And you know the lady who books the club, Esty, Adore, mm-hmm. She doesn't fuck around. She's like, she's the type, like, if you're not right for the club, she's like, nah, what was that? That was bullshit. She's Israeli, so she's like, he's not funny. But sometimes she makes bad judgments on shit.
Sure.
But she's usually amazing at the cellar. That's why the cellar people, when they come out of the cellar, they go, that's the fucking baddest lineup I've ever seen in my life.
How was it like watching Robin there? I mean, you started talking about that.
Oh, man, he's very, like, one time I was hosting. That was the first time, because we have the same birthday, July 21st. Me, him, Steve Byrne, John Lovitz.
Wow.
So, and... So,
I'm the most famous of all of them.
That's the ticket. Right. I remember one time John called
Godfrey.
Me. John called me. He goes, Godfrey, I have a joke I want to tell you. I was like, and what's that?
It's about black people. And I need your approval. You're my only black friend.
My black friend, I need approval.
I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah. Well, John was really nice to me. John always, drove around in his. You remember he had that Maserati? He had that brand new, some new Maserati, some dope ass car. He goes, "You want to ride?" I go, "Yeah." So I go in the car with him,
mm-hmm.
and it's all button operated. He's pressing buttons, going, "Now this is hyperspeed." We're going, man. And he goes, always remember, funny is money.
Wow.
Yeah, he took me in his dope ass. It was fucking sick. So so I was doing a show,
mm-hmm.
not to be off topic.
Well,
and I was hosting. It was Ray Romano was on the show. Wow. Everybody was on there. Gabe Kaplan.
Gabe Kaplan?
Yeah, Gabe.
Wow. Shit.
He's a poker champ.
Yeah, now he is.
But Gabe Kaplan came. It was crazy. People were going, what the fuck is going on? Everybody was coming into the cellar. Rock. Boom. I was hosting that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And Robin Williams was the last dude. But he kind of bit off of Ray Romano's joke. Ray went upstairs because he's a sponge.
Yeah, he just soaks
up everything.
Because
Robin is very, very humble. Very humble guy. And he's like, hey, you know. I said, what are you here for? He goes, oh, I'm just working on some things, you know. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, cool. But when you feed him shit, he starts to act.
Yeah.
Because I'd be like this. What's up, Robin? He'd be like, hey, man, you know how it is, motherfucker. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
All you have to do is throw him something and he'll go, well, shit. You know how that shit is, man. I mean, he's so humble, man. Yeah. That guy was the nicest dude. I've worked with him a few times. I bring him up on stage. Yeah, man. Because we have the same birthday. We were like, July 21st.
Wow.
Yeah, I got a little bonding thing.
Yeah,
that's
man.
Great.
So, yeah, man. His son went to NYU and shit like that. So, a lot
what
of
would
people,
you take from him when you saw him on stage? I mean, like, you were talking about soaking up things from, like, Attell and Chappelle.
But Robin is a different school of comedy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So his performance energy was like great, you know, but I never took really anything from him. I just know being a nice man, just a nice, you can be nice in his business, dude.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a fucking dick.
Right.
That is a fallacy. That's bullshit. That's some shit you planned.
Yeah.
I can understand you being shitty to people who were fucked up to you. You can have your little hit list.
Sure.
But in general,
but even then, like, you know,
like if, like when I called, I said, "Man, congrats on the mascot joint." Was it mascot?
Yeah.
I saw him. I said, "Man, fuck yeah!" But I'm literally genuinely happy because I've seen him work his ass off.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's been rejected as a whatever, and he's told me all his. And I, but when I work with cats and I know they've been through shit, I'm genuinely complimenting you. Like,
yeah,
good job. Be that cool dude. Don't fucking flip on me.
Yeah.
I'm not your fan. I'm your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what I mean. I'm not. It's like Michael Jordan gripping Barkley. Like, no, I'm your man. I respect your game, but motherfucker, I'm Jordan. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck if you won the championship or not. I'm still Jordan.
Right.
You know? And plus, I won the championship. Yeah. Barkley did.
But the thing is like, when it comes from you, you are, honest to God, one of the best ball busters in this damn business.
Is that what it is? Am I known for that shit?
Well, but like, I mean, it comes from the cellar, I think, and like hanging out with guys like Patrice and shit like that. Like, because Patrice was legendary.
Woo!
That's another level.
When Patrice fucked with you, you knew he liked you.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
Comics didn't get
you're the
that.
Same way. Like, yeah. When you start fucking with me in Montreal, I'm like, okay, we're cool.
Oh, yeah.
And then when you compliment it, when you compliment me,
it means
it,
more.
Yeah, it just makes the compliments more sincere, and I know you're not bullshitting.
People say, oh, coming from you, I think that's kind of cool. I don't know how people view me.
Mm-hmm.
I just do my comedy and shit.
Sure.
But I forget I've been in the game long. 20 years, you're like, oh yeah, damn, because I look younger than what I am.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so people go, and I have comics, literally people say, man, whenever you're on stage, there's like a gang of comics back there watching.
Oh yeah,
I don't
sure.
know that.
Oh yeah,
because I'm used to Chappelle being watched and
right
and all those guys, so I forget. Like, I've earned my fucking keep. I may not
it's
have
cool
a
to have that
hit show, but my mic game is like, you know,
dude,
fuck what you heard.
Yeah, we all know.
But here's another thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to some comic that's close to me and shit, and there's an intimidation factor, too, that I found out about, that a lot of people don't include me in a lot of shit because of intimidation.
Really?
How so?
Just, oh, fuck that dude. He might overtake. Because I heard, like, Greg Fitzsimmons, who's a good friend of mine,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
he said on a podcast, which I wasn't on, he goes, here's one thing I can't fucking figure out, why Godfrey hasn't made it, like, bigger.
Yeah.
I cannot figure. People were telling me, like, dude, did you hear Fitzsimmons' fucking podcast?
Yeah.
It's been spreading. Like, they're like, what is that about? I go, I don't know. I haven't pissed anybody off, really. Unless I was fucking with them, but if they got mad over that, fuck them. I don't have time for that shit. If I'm fucking with you, like, yo, man, what the fuck is up with them? Shoot. Like, I'm fucking with you.
Yeah.
If you're mad about that, and I didn't get on your pilot because I fucked with your shoes, then fuck you. I don't give a shit. I mean, you know what I mean?
I'm like, dude.
We should be able to be men. Like, we should be able to be men and fuck.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck happened to that?
Dude, you were so cool. The first night we met, do you remember how we met?
At the
Bray Improv.
And you ran up this motherfucker, man.
Yeah.
I was talking about, I had a midget joke. This motherfucker, I see like something going past. Like,
yeah, when they move fast, it's like a flash.
Something was moving. I was like this. What the fuck was that? And I see this body just moving, and it's Brad. He comes up and starts humping my leg in the middle of the show.
On stage.
Because you're doing a midget joke.
I'm doing a midget joke.
And I had not met. I never met him before.
And that's your home club, so you're there just hanging out.
This was like, and I was like laughing like,
that's,
it was great. And then on stage, you had no idea who I was, but you just go down and you look at me, you go, you're a comic, aren't you? Like, because you knew. You knew
he was a comic.
Yeah.
Because the timing was great.
Because Brad is quick. He was And I said, what? I said,
oh, it's deceivingly fast. Yeah.
You know how you have a road in your house? Yeah. Like, fuck, man. And that motherfucker.
I thought we set up traps. Yeah, what was that?
I said, God damn, you can't play on this shit right there.
That's incredible.
But I've been, and I'm glad, you know, anytime I meet somebody and I'd have time, you know how you don't remember half the time,
mm-hmm.
and then a comic will say, man, you were really nice to me, and I'm glad, because I'm not an asshole like that, you know? If I'm an asshole, maybe it's because I'm being a human being when you're being fucking wrong about something, or you're treating somebody like shit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to bust out a club, Eastville Club in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I will throw a Molotov cocktail in that fucking club.
Why is that?
I'll shit on that club because the owner of the club, I don't mind calling, his name is Marcos.
Uh-huh.
He treats comedians like shit. Mm. He's a fucking dick. He treats comedians like shit. And I don't like that, especially young comics that don't know any better. He treats them like shit.
And they don't know any better. Yeah, they've been pressured.
And he had us fighting. He had me and Luis, you know, Luis Gomez, who's my dude. Mm-hmm. Luis Gomez, my boy. He had us fighting amongst each other for no reason. And Luis is a great dude. He's an awesome dude. He's an MMA guy. He has his own podcast, Legion of Skanks, with Jay Oakerson. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
he was just trying to pitch you guys against each other.
He was like in a weird way, and he's very mean. And Ben Bailey wanted to beat his ass from Cash Cash.
Yeah, yeah.
Ben wanted to crush.
Dude, and skull. Ben's like the calmest guy.
Oh, but you don't know Ben.
Oh, really?
Shit, Ben body slammed a college student talking shit. He's legendary for that.
Where's that video?
He body slammed him.
No yeah,
shit. I think it's amazing, and he got a standing ovation for it. Ben is another guy who keeps it real. Like I'm a normal dude. I'm not super weird. I mean, I'm weird, what? Because I'm a comedian. Okay, narcissism. Yeah, yeah. But I'm a normal motherfucker. I like sports. I'm a normal dude. If someone's being talked too crazy, I'll go, yo, why are you talking to that dude? Like, why he didn't do shit to you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't, you know what I mean?
Have you always been like that? That's
yeah,
kind of like speak
my mom
your mind
was
and,
like that. Okay. My parents are like that. I don't talk to the people that clean up the club. I don't talk to them crazy. I talk to them like they're grown men.
Yeah.
That's somebody's dad.
Yeah.
That's somebody's uncle. That motherfucker is probably in somebody's life the most amazing individual.
Yeah.
So I don't talk to them as a man cleaning up shit. I don't do that kind of shit.
It's so weird when you know? Like sometimes and like I'll do that to the wait staff or the cooks or whatever. Yeah. And then they'll say something like, oh man, no one talks to me. I go, why not?
You're a cool dude. I don't do it to be fake humble.
Yeah.
I do it because I like people. I literally like people. I don't.
You've always been that way.
And there's people I don't like. Sometimes I don't want to be around some motherfuckers. But I like there's the guy that makes the sandwiches at the Laugh Factory. The little Mexican.
Yeah, upstairs.
He came up to me. He said, you're the best, man. How you doing? I said, how are you, man? What the fuck? Because I always would chat with the guy. I would always. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we got to get this tighter.
Okay. Man, you really got this is fucked up, my friend. Holy shit. Fuck. I thought you were going to hump my leg again. What the fuck?
Going in
man?
For round two?
Yeah, yeah. So he.
I missed it.
So, yeah, I've always been. You know, I had another cat that I'm not going to mention his name, but. Starts with a P. But anyway, but he told me the same thing. He said, man. You know, when I first came to the Cellar, I was intimidated. There was Patrice and Rich Vaughn, all these guys. Mm-hmm. And I felt ostracized. You were the only one that stepped out of the crowd and said, hey, man, what's your name? Oh, cool, man. You were nice to me. Now he has a show. He doesn't speak to me. He doesn't know, act like he doesn't know me.
Mm.
And I think it's pretty fucked up.
Wow.
Like, yeah, he acted like he didn't know me. I was like, whoa, wow.
We got history, man.
I was like, yeah. I was like, you came up to me and told me that. I don't even remember. But I'm glad I was nice to you. But now you have a show. You think it's just because you get a show doesn't mean you're better than anybody.
No, man.
No, because there's so many comics that are amazing that don't have
first
shows.
First of all, this business is transient. It's very like it comes and goes, friend.
Yeah.
You don't know who the next. But even if the next motherfucker does come up, it's just transient shit. It's temporary shit.
Some people don't know that.
It comes and goes.
Maybe you need to be in this for a minute to really understand and grasp that.
Yeah,
but.
It's like you're not better than anybody.
No. Mm-hmm.
And how dare you not speak to the people that you came up with? Yeah. If you have a crew of guys you came up with, why the fuck are you talking to them again? These comics that do that kind of shit, I would fucking kidnap half these bastards and kidnap them and never let them be seen again.
Just because
you get your act together.
Yeah. Just because your responsibilities and the stakes might be bigger for what you're doing professionally.
But that's fine, but why?
That shouldn't take away from your social
interactions. Why should it take away? Like a guy like Gerard Carmichael, who's nice to everybody. Like, I thought it was fake.
No, he's that
guy. I thought it was fake, and he always, when he hugs it, hey.
He was like that as an open micer.
I mean, good for him.
Yeah.
He keeps it consistent. He's really genuinely a nice guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have to be on any of his shows. But the fact that he's a nice guy like that, he's a fucking brilliant comic.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I support that guy. Because he treats people nicely.
Perfect.
Fucking and you deserve everything you get, man.
Exactly.
He's a good example for especially the younger comics.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you should fucking be.
Yeah. To where when you do get your show, all of us are going like, you know what?
Good. For him. And then he can bring people in if he goes, if I find something for you. It's like Louis C.K. is the same way.
Yeah.
If he finds something, he will look out for you. He's looked out for me, and I never.
Yeah,
and I'm not his boy.
Yeah.
But he knows of me. He observes everybody. He goes, I want you to do. He could put me on the first two seasons of Louis, like for no audition. What he put me on the Chris Rock show three times, And a lot of comics won't do that shit for you. There's a lot of bitch-made-ass comics out here.
Right, because they don't want
I'm saying it on your podcast. There's a lot of bitch-made-ass comics out here. Well, bitch-made. Mm-hmm. They don't act like real fucking men. And I'm like, you know, pay it forward if you can help your friend.
Yeah.
I'm saying if you can help them.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to force it, but if
they
you can.
And then your friend should have the skill to back himself, him or herself up, and not fuck your shit up.
Yeah.
But you, the fact that you don't because you feel like there's a lack of something, fuck you. How's that?
Yeah, and
also
you,
it just takes an extra awareness of like the people. Like, take advantage of the fact that you are in the grind, in the thick of it, and you know all these amazing people.
Yeah,
all
man.
You have to do is take a moment to think a little bit of what you're around and go, oh, I just can get outside of myself and go, oh, that person would be great for this.
Yeah, man.
We can both win out of this.
I know my grade school friends that maybe they'll tweet me or whatever. And I tweet them back. They go, I didn't even think you would even remember. I go, why the fuck would I? When you were in my, when we were in fifth grade, we went through grade school together.
Yeah, that was a big time.
They go, but they think, but the image of that celebrity being a dick.
Of course.
I was like, you all so molded prominent. Me. You molded me as a child. I talk about shit from childhood, friends that I knew. And you text me. I'm like, what's up, man? Here's my number, dude.
Exactly.
Boom.
Yeah.
I'm that dude. I'm not the fake. Man, fuck that. Nope.
So that's your folks instilling that in you? Or,
man. But it's like, first of all, I'm Nigerian. I'm West African. So West Africans ain't having that shit. It's not going to happen. This is what I loved about my dad. My parents aren't around anymore. But it was great when my dad, he would see me on TV. Oh, I saw you on TV. I saw you. Very good. Very proud of you. My father's Godfrey Sr. He'd be like, very proud of you. That was very good. Blah, 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 blah. And then he'd be like, throw out the garbage. Can you throw out the garbage and clean this place? It's messy. He's love my it. Dad. Yeah. Fuck me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He brought me here, man. He's the king in this motherfucker. And my whole language would change. I mean, I'm a comic. We talk like this. When I talk to my father, it's a different language.
Yeah. Sure.
My dad.
You go right back to being a kid.
Dad, so I talk to him with respect. Mm-hmm. And I sit the fuck down. And he goes, you know, sit down. I want to talk. And I sit there while he's watching CNN. I watch CNN with him for 3 fucking hours, same goddamn footage, and I sit there
because
it's my fucking dad.
Yeah, man.
Period. Yeah. And my mother, same way. That's it, man. You go to your house, when you go to your hometown and see how normal shit is.
Yeah, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, oh, shit. It's there are no lights. There are no nothing.
Right, right, right.
This that's is how like, it is. Yeah, motherfucker. That's how life is 90% of the time.
I was just going to say, man, we are in such a small bubble of
90% of the time.
Yeah.
We'll be guys in New York, guys in LA. Like, then you go back and you go, oh.
Yeah.
That's not how it is.
And some people go, I
got
to leave and go back to this phony shit.
Yeah.
And you see the people that take that bubble that we live in and try to bring that to back home or where the 90% of how people are living. And that's why it stands out. And that's why people are like, oh, shit, man, what the fuck's why are you talking like that? Why are you acting like – I mean, there is – you know, the business does
–
being
business,
in it, it does affect you.
I was bi-coastal 7 years, man. Yeah. I lived up there in Wilshire and Plymouth, man. I was talking that language, too. Yeah. I was like, I guess you got to kind of – it's almost like getting an accent when you live in a country for a long time. I said, I got to get that L.A., hey, let's do lunch shit and point fingers and lie to people.
Yeah, make eye contact when you talk to them.
Cats that would take your number down and then not call you and you're calling them. And I would tell them, hey, my man, let me tell you something, dude. You came to me.
Yeah.
And you saw what the fuck I do on stage. See, with the shit that we do on stage is I'm so like happy to be a comedian because if we're not doing any acting, we can go on stage and create and get that adulation and go, yeah, there's a reason why I'm fucking here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what's still great about we were blessed to be comics, man. We can be like, we can always perform.
Yeah.
We can feel a certain way and go, I'll talk about that later.
Isn't that the fucking greatest?
It's the greatest shit. The being a comedian is such a blessing.
I don't sleep on that ever, man.
I never
have something. I'm like, fuck.
I just talk about that.
Oh, man.
And you know what I'm saying? So it's like when I'm doing my shit and somebody comes into my realm, some motherfucker that I got to meet in the morning that doesn't know shit about comedy and wants to talk to me and then plays me off, blows me off, I got to let him know. I go, my man. Listen, dude, don't ever do that shit to me. I'm not that dude, man. Don't do that to me. Don't make me look like I'm chasing you, bro. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because what I do, you can't fuck with what I do, man. When you come into the comedy realm, you motherfuckers, you come around us, we work hard at our shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can't do it ever.
That's the Buddy Hackett quote where he's like, don't listen to anyone that never had the courage to walk that last 10 feet. And that's the last 10 feet from the side of the stage to the
stage. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Don't do that to me. I was just creating some shit. And these people don't even know me, and I'm murdering, like, people from different countries, and you're killing and connecting, and some fuckhead with a clipboard comes in and goes, hey, you should have a meeting, and I'm not saying everybody's like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't want people to take the podcast and go, he would me. I'm like, nah, this shit means a lot to me, and I don't need you. That's like going up to Jordan and just like, hey, man, while he's shooting hoops, you're just like, hey, can you come over and play I want to play some ball with you over there. He goes, did you see what the fuck I did tonight? I scored 60 points, and you want me to come to your stupid-ass court, and then you fucking don't show up? Like, don't waste my time, dude. I tell people, leave me the fuck alone. Leave me alone. I don't need to be on your shit. Don't bother me. I'm not saying that, you know, nothing's guaranteed. We get that.
Yeah.
But don't make me chase you after you've approached me like a chick. You gave me the number.
Yeah.
I'm calling you.
And now it's like, oh, who are you?
I go like this. Listen, miss, I'm a grown man. I fuck a lot. All grown men fuck a lot. Pretty has been on this planet thousands of years, and it's going to be dead one day. Don't do that to me. I'm not the dude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't make me out to be the stalker, because I'm not a stalker.
Mm-hmm.
Even the woman I live with, I don't even smother her. We're not like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We give space within our space. So don't ever do that shit to me.
I mean, mic drop moment from Godfrey right there.
I'm just saying, mic drop.
Yeah. I want to know what do you find most fulfilling about stand up now in 2016?
In 2016?
Changed from, like, you've been doing it how long again? About 20 years?
About going to 20, yeah.
Yeah, so let's say maybe the first few years versus like now. Like, the challenges?
It's challenging, but I'm so seasoned that you're comfortable with challenges.
Yeah.
Like, I go, oh, I got to talk about this. Here I go.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's not like you're not in your fifth anymore. Year trying to do some heavy shit. I'm like, I've
You know how you think about something when you see it.
But here's the thing,
yeah?
When you're in it for a year, how long have you been in it?
9 years.
Okay, mm-hmm. 9.
13.
13. So the 10-year mark is when you go, I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. It's like in martial arts. After 10 years of martial arts, you're like, oh, you strike without even looking. You're mm-hmm. like, oh, I see why we're doing those drills.
Yeah.
It's automatic with me now.
Yeah, you don't even think about
it. Yeah, now it's the beginning. They say in martial arts, now when you get your black belt, you begin to be a martial artist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else was just like a stepping.
That's when,
And Seinfeld told me, I was in Comedian. I was in two scenes of Comedian. I'm in that documentary. Yeah. He told me.
What?
Yeah, I had hair at the time. I'm sitting okay, at the table with him. And he told me, and he's giving me advice, like on some sneak tip, like an hour talking to me.
Wow.
That's Jim Norton. He was watching mad. Jordan Norton's like, I hate you. I hate your face. You Seinfeld, you make me sick. I just want to throw a cup of AIDS on you. Yuck.
Great Norton.
So.
Can you do a Seinfeld?
So Seinfeld's like... Oh, I mean, because I was doing a camel joke when I went to Egypt. I was doing a camel joke, and I had just come back from Egypt. I dropped my bags, and I did my set. After I came, I was jet lagged. I had jokes on this camel ride.
You were performing in Egypt?
I was just New Year's. Gotcha. I travel.
Yeah.
And so I had jokes about these guys trying to get me on the camel, and I was like, fuck that, these Egyptian guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about it. I went on stage, did the whole thing, murdered with that shit. It was new. And I was imitating.
Did you tell the guys, like, at a table story-wise before you get on stage, or is it the first time?
In my head, off the plane. Mm-hmm. And I said, I booked myself a spot at the Cellar because I knew I was coming back around 5, 6, and I knew my spot was at, like, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
So I went, and I did it, and it killed, and Seinfeld went up after me. And mm-hmm. he's like, that was a good joke about the camel. You go like this, the way he broke the camel down, did the whole, he liked what I did.
Wow.
Yeah. So a couple weeks later, he had stopped me and said, hey, man, I want to talk to you, because he was impressed by me, which was cool. And
it's incredible.
I had been doing it about 8 or 9 years at the time. Mm-hmm. And he was like, how long have you been doing comedy? I said, like, 9 years. He goes, well, that's kindergarten. You're a 9-year-old in comedy. Remember that. He wasn't even putting me down.
Wow.
He was giving me advice. He said, remember, your years in comedy is like you growing up as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll keep your perspective. So you're
wow
a 9-year-old. You're a 13-year-old. I'm a 20-year-old. I'm not even 21 yet. Ain't that a bitch? Comedy is that difficult.
Oh, wait. Though. Yeah, but that's damn what it. A great way to just immediately keep you humble, though.
He's such a wise dude. Mm-hmm. Like, he's always makes sense. Like whenever he's talking, like at Howard Stern, you got to listen to his Howard Stern interviews.
Sure.
He's so logical. You go, yeah, that's right. He goes, because comedians are like, we always need a feeding. We always need that audience. It's like we need to be fed our adulation.
Yeah.
It's like we're always hung, you know.
Yeah.
He says, are you always mad? He goes, well, I'm always annoyed. I'm always annoyed, but that's what keeps it going.
Yeah, yeah.
Because every comic is angry. I don't give a fuck who you are.
Oh,
we
yeah.
all have an anger
sure.
in us.
Got something.
That's what keeps us.
Just how do you filter that through what you're talking about on stage?
But it keeps comedy funny because you're mad at shit. You're annoyed at shit.
Yeah, because if you're happy with everything that's going on, then that's not.
But that's not real.
Yeah, and there's
Look
no conflict.
Look how angry Cosby was. That's all I'm saying. Look how angry he was at women.
Yeah,
but there's always an anger somewhere,
and even that happy comedy that he did.
Look at Robin Williams.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, you know what I'm saying? There's a disturbance. There's always something that's driving us, some dark force in some kind of way. Whether it's different levels of it.
Sure.
Like me, I'm a black dude that's angry at injustice all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm angry at irresponsible black people. I'm angry at racist white folks. I'm angry at a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly.
Yeah. I see images on TV and I go, they're still doing this stupid ass shit.
Mm-hmm.
They're still doing this stupid ass shit. They're still doing this. Yesterday at the improv, I did a whole joke about they have this movie coming out about this African chess player.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Queen of Kitwe.
Yeah, Queen of Kitwe.
And I made fun of it.
Yeah.
Because I'm as an African, I'm like, oh, shit. So I started going, there are no chess pieces here. You will never play again. But I want to play chess, please. I want to play. My father said I can play. You cannot play chess here.
God. I can just picture it, and then all of a sudden, and Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Well, listen, motherfucker. No chess will be played here. Do you hear me, you little African motherfucker? I ain't got time for this shit.
It's so sad.
My
like,
God. You know what I mean?
Of course it did.
It fucking crushed. Love it. Like, this was at the improv late.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a great bit, dude.
And it was like... and it was new, and I did it. But that's my anger. But it's for the funny though.
Yeah, because I was gonna say when you see something and you do get riled up about it, how do you differentiate between like I'm gonna talk about that tonight or I need to sit on that for a few weeks?
No, I'm talking about it tonight.
Okay,
fuck yeah. Even if I come off angry, so what? You got to let it out there first, and you adjust from there. It's like in acting. Mm-hmm. You always go big and then cut it down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You always give an all and then go, okay, I know what I need to do. That was a little too angry.
Yeah.
Let me come back.
Right, because it's a lot.
And be fucked out.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to tone it down.
Tone it down.
Have you always been completely fearless as far as like and committed to like a new bit or anything?
Yeah.
Because you strike me as someone who just knows I'm not going to get to understand the full potential of a bit or something if I don't go all in immediately, right?
Yeah, I've always been a guy that always changed my jokes. I've always tried new shit. I mean, people who have middled for me have seen me do 6 different hours on a weekend.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's cats that are like, you're my new favorite.
I gotta see that. That's incredible.
What was that?
Yeah, you did that at the Ethnic show where like you would just host and do a different...
I did, and we did 20... how many shows? 15?
Fucking A.
And like, you did new shit every motherfucking time. And I was like, but I've always been like that. I've always done new shit and worked on new shit. So I would just have a lot of shit. Because I wasn't afraid.
Yeah.
I wasn't afraid to like, oh, I might bomb, but I was confident that I'll make it funny. I'll be like, well, I'm gonna make it funny.
Yeah, and then you're 20 years in, and you're confident in your voice, and you know that you have the capability to do it. So why not just try talking
about it? Because I was doing shit a lot too when I was in my like 7th year. Yeah, I was just fuck that. 5th, I was just like, I'm gonna try new shit again, and then I would do late night a lot. Mm-hmm. I was always doing late night.
Yeah.
And I still do late night.
Yeah.
And then when I started doing late night, I stayed at late night at the Cellar 15 years. I stayed late night. I stayed last. I said, I want to go last. I like late night because it's like it's more freeing. I don't have to worry about.
Yeah.
And usually, and it used to be where there was only a few people at the Cellar at late night. Now it's packed. But I still do late night because they're tired. I want them to be tired. I want them to have seen everything.
Yeah.
So then I know how good this joke is. And I still murder at 2 in the morning. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Dude, that was one of the first times I saw you at the Cellar, and it was like super late.
I remember
seeing you crush so hard that late, and that was like, you know, to somebody who's just starting out, you're like, oh, that's possible? Because I had all these like preconceived notions about
but
like,
a lot of comics will be like, oh, man, who's going up and crying and shit and who's up on stage? I don't do that shit. I go, who's up? I don't give a fuck who's up. I'm going up when I need to go. Because there's a quote, Bernie Mac is like, because I started in Bernie Mac's club.
What?
Man, dude, you don't know my ilk, do you? I'm telling you, my ilk. I like that shit.
I don't know what that means or where you got it, but I'm taking
where
it.
Where you cut your fucking teeth at.
Yeah.
The Jews
call it chutzpah, I think.
Right. That's a lot of guts. Yeah. Like chutzpah.
Okay. Yeah.
I met Bernie in the south side of Chicago. They were, because I wanted to do black comedy. Like, I was doing mainstream, but I was like, I want to do black urban shit. And they would go see Bernie Mac. And I was like, okay. And I saw this dude on stage. He was like, let me tell you, I'm tired of this shit. You motherfuckers don't understand. Let me see it. America, you see these motherfuckers? And I was like, who is this motherfucker?
Yeah. Oh,
murder. What I say, when I tell you destroy, listen, man, Bernie Mac was a fucking,
never seen anything like
Army
it.
Army couldn't follow him. None of these guys could follow him. That's why Kings of Comedy, he was last.
Yeah.
They can't. Bernie was a motherfucker.
His timing was perfect.
Bernie's like 6'2", and he dark skinned, real charismatic and shit.
Mm-hmm.
That motherfucker was like, he could have been a pimp. He could have been a CEO or something. No, he could have been anything.
Yeah.
He could have been
universal swagger for
that
any.
That motherfucker was so cold, like you wish you were cool as him. But Bernie took me under his wing. Mm-hmm. I got the privilege.
No shit.
There's a guy named Evan Lionel.
Mm-hmm.
He's a comic. He's been out here for years. Like, he's an older dude. He's like my older brother. Him and Bernie were really tight. And you can ask him. Like, he would, him and Bernie would sit down and Bernie would advise me. This is my second year in the comedy.
Oh my God,
I'm sitting with Bernie Mac and his wife at 3 a.m. at the Cotton Club in Chicago. And Bernie be like, let me tell you something. Who gonna pass the torch? You motherfuckers got under that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And he would tell me, like, yeah, you're versatile. Keep that shit up. Like, give me advice. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's why Bernie Mac even said in one quote, he's on, I think it was Oprah, he goes, do you ever care who's going up? He goes, I'll never care who it is. Because I always know Bernie Mac got to do his thing.
And it's just,
wow.
And that, it's so simple, but so powerful. Shit, yeah.
And the George Wilborn, another guy, George Wilborn, a black comic who hosted this club called All Jokes Aside in Chicago. I learned how to host from him. He was a murderer, too. Like, I came from D.L. Hughley coming into Chicago. I would learn from, like, dope dudes like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get that, come on, you get advice from Seinfeld. Then I worked on The Cosby Show. I was the audience coordinator.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, 97.
The audience one warm up.
Yeah.
Right?
I was an audience warm up. 8 hours of comedy I had to do.
I mean,
Mike Epps was my roommate at the time.
Oh,
in Long Island, Queens. Long Island City, Queens.
That's nuts.
What would you do for eight? I mean,
I would tell jokes.
Yeah.
And I get an hour break, and then I have to do five, six more hours of talking to the audience. Well, of course,
there's no better training. That's incredible.
And I would do that, and Cosby started to come out and started doing his sets. He started doing sets.
You probably made it look so fun, huh?
Because I was breaking these people the fuck off. But I was clean.
Yeah.
I was very clean. It's not hard for me to do clean.
Yeah, no.
And so Cosby started coming out doing a monologue. He started telling jokes. Before I would get the mic, he would go come out, tell jokes, murder, pass the mic to me and say, follow that shit.
What?
I'd be like, I love this shit. Good.
Got it.
Wait, do you think
him come out? Yeah, I was going to say,
this is my show. This guy's fucking.
Yep. Yeah.
They're going to think about him the whole time I'm up there acting.
I was right there. There's a dude named Mike, this guy who was the sound guy who comes to see me. I've known him for a long time. You can ask him. He was the one that fixed the mics. He set the mics up. He remembers I used to murder that bitch, and Cosby would come out. I remember one time I was imitating Cosby, and Cosby was behind me. I didn't know it. No, he was.
Oh, that's funny, motherfucker.
Yeah, he's like, I don't talk like that. What are you doing? I was like, oh, I was just talking like you, and then zoop-a-doop-a-doop. And, yeah, so that's the kind of shit I came from, and I've had really good, like, training, you could say.
Yeah.
It's like a Navy SEAL when you go,
you've been to the trenches with the greatest of them, literally. Your Seinfelds, your Bernie Macs, or whoever. Like, so, and you've come out on the other side, and you're, and as someone who's seen you perform so many times, it's always an experience, and it's always.
I want it to be that way.
It's always powerful.
Yeah,
wanted to be an
wrap it up. You good?
Yeah,
it's good. Yeah, we're good.
I just got to tell my hold on.
Yeah, we'll pause it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the traffic's gonna be. I can't even.
You going to the west side?
I'm going to Culver.
Yeah.
I think I'll be all right. I don't know.
For what time?
It's 3, but I want to tell them I'm running late. I know. I've been trying to knock out everything.
We'll be going. Well, yeah, we've been going for an hour, so yeah.
This is great. Dude.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, yeah, this is unbelievable. Are you kidding me?
I want to come back.
We could do. I mean, but you know, dude, you're somebody we could. I mean, yeah, we could do 3 hours right now.
You said you're going to be coming to LA more now. So
yes. Yeah, anytime you're here,
yeah,
you're
come on back, my friend.
Yeah, yeah, dude.
Open door.
Because I've done Mark Maron's got me on there twice, and which was really cool. Judd Apatow was like, "That's my favorite episode. Your episode." Apatow told me last week.
Oh, that's yeah, so cool. Dude, it was phenomenal.
My thing is, I just talk, man. I just.
Well, because
yeah, but see, it's so effortless for you to be this articulate and like funny and engaging, and it's like, dude, I take everything that you've. Like, to be that cognizant of, like, every moment that you've stumbled upon, like, with the advice, and then you jump into an impression of it. I mean, you're just like, that's not, you know, I know you don't sleep on how incredible it is to be that good at conversing.
I don't,
you know?
I grew up on Johnny Carson and watching The Honeymooners and watching, like, Red Fox and just great stand-up comics, like, talented motherfucker, Carol O'Connor, Archie. But I mean, I watched, like, when you grow up on that kind of talent,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, there's no way if I get into comedy, I don't want to be fucking whack. I don't want to be like average. I want people to go, yo, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, right.
You know, that because there can be 10 comics that are all funny.
Yeah.
But what did you leave in the room? What did you leave? What did they leave with?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they leave with anything? It's just a bunch of guys that were funny and girls that were funny. But what did they leave with? Mm-hmm. Like Maria Bamford, you leave with something. Like,
yeah.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
That?
Right, right, right.
You
talking?
You leave with something. You know, she, and it took her a long time to make it.
Oh, yeah, to find
but
that.
But she's a beast. Like, it's like they don't know what to do when they see genius, man. It's yeah. like, yeah. Look at what you, when you leave, you go, man, Maria Bamford, yo, what the
yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
And, yeah, and only now she has a show. Like
I love that she had good for her. And she's yeah. the nicest lady on the planet.
Oh, so
she's
sweet.
So sweet. Yeah. The nicest lady. And she was like, "It's so nice to meet you." I was like, fuck that.
Wow,
nice to
dude,
meet
that's
you.
Crazy, right?
You know, like Bill Burr, when you leave, you're like, what the fuck was that?
Dude.
Like, that's the thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's where he's coming into that realm. Like, you know, because Brad has a lot of shit in his life
yeah.
that I can't wait to see. Him transition to because mm-hmm. he does the thing. I'm a small guy, blah, blah, blah. But then there's gonna be a point where they're like, "Oh, you're a human being now."
Yep.
Yeah.
Because he got some shit he told me. I go, I can't wait to see this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Brad is gonna be nasty.
Oh, yeah. I'm working on it.
But it's hard. Cooking.
Yeah.
But you need to go to those little rooms when there's not a lot of people
and work on
it. Don't do it on the fucking weekend shit. Do it when it's shitty and go. All right. I'm gonna work this
That's
out.
So I want him to get him into the store so
it,
bad, you know.
Find a yeah. funny way to do that. Brad does it. Find it in a funny right. way that Brad does it.
Yeah.
Because you got to start to. I think if you want to go to that next.
Oh,
level,
1,000%.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, because most of the time you're working out of the shits for a full sold out crowd that's
right.
like already likes everything you're doing.
Yeah,
so you're not
fine,
getting.
But then you got.
But you're not
go
getting the full like
on,
true
the cut,
test of it.
And
yeah.
do them little tiny shits.
Oh yeah, dude.
And go. I'm gonna work on my shit over here. Yep. This little lounge down yeah. here and work on that. And you know, and you'll be experiencing that too when you get to your 10th year. You'll be like, oh yeah, I'm this guy. I'm gonna go there.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful.
It's fun. It's such a fun and job that
it's
we
been
have.
Amazing,
we're so
dude.
Fucking lucky.
You gotta come back any.
Yeah.
I mean,
dude,
like this. You know.
I told Brad. I said I heard your shit is fire. Your
yeah.
podcast.
Oh, thanks, dude.
You heard you guys. I said I'm gonna do. But I tried to do it last time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
there's a few times.
But I would do it anyway if you had one viewer because you're my friend. So I would do it anyway.
I appreciate it.
If you're my friend, you cool. I'll do. I don't give a fuck. I'll do your shit.
Yeah. Because we
I'm
just
not too.
We
I
just
don't do
hung
that
out.
Why would I do it?
Yeah, you just get to hang out with your boys.
I got my buddy James Goff. He's a comic in New York. He's busting his ass. He has two kids. Black dude, right?
Mm-hmm.
Boom. He's busting his ass. And he, you know, he's a guy that no one knows,
yeah.
you know, but I'm giving him a shout out. And he works hard as hell. And he has a podcast. I do his podcast anytime he wants because he's my friend.
Yeah.
I go, if that's important to you, because I don't realize how popular I am.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I go, hey, man, I got you, man. I'm like that dude. I'm just like, yeah, what do you need? Oh, fuck, I don't
sure.
care.
We'll hang out for an hour. And then if it helps you, fucking hang.
Whatever.
Great. Yeah, it works out.
Shit.
Well, listen, selfishly, I have to say too, like, and you know, you mentioned like people when they see you on stage, like staying in the back to watch. But it's like, man, the day I saw you became a huge. I've been so like, it's I'm I didn't want to geek out on the podcast, but dude, you're one of my favorite comics.
I like that.
And like, you know, dudes on dudes, like they don't fucking, you know, when you don't know somebody. So it's like, and we've had like a handful of conversations at clubs, but it's like, and again, you're talking about just always being nice and personable.
What's wrong with
and
that?
So like that is, that goes leaps and bounds because for somebody who, like me coming up and to be such a fan and then to see you out and you to be cordial and personal, just those things add to the pot of driving you because you're like, oh, fuck, like the dudes I look up to and I'm a fan of, like, not like we had a conversation about, like, man, keep at it and whatever, but it was like just you being nice was like, fuck,
I mean, because it's already afraid as a new comic. You come around, you see people you like, and they can be shit. It's scary. And then I'm like, hey, what up? I get it because I was in that position.
Yeah.
Where you see somebody, you're like, oh, fuck, I hope they're not an asshole to me.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I believe in that. Like, hey, man, and it's cool. Like, I've had guys come up to me, young little dudes, yo, man, you're our favorite, man. And these are millennials that are tweeting all that. I go, that's dope. They go, and then you're nice to them. I'm thinking about doing comedy. You say, hey, man, just, hey, do
start
it.
Doing
just
it.
Keep doing it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Start you know?
Doing it.
Guess what? Even taking the time for that little exchange is.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so huge. That's how I believe. That's my philosophy. And I, you know. I hope if I get to a certain level that I get to where I have enough juice, I'm going to keep it like that. I'm not going to be like some of these punk bitch-ass comics that do this shit, turn their backs on their friends. I'm not talking about me in general, but their friends, their crew, turn their backs on them and act a fucking ass, especially when you're mediocre at best on your mic game, bitch. Straight up.
Love it, man. All right. Godfrey, you are one of the great
ones. It's all about the Wu-Tang, man. Every time I walk, I feel the Wu-Tang is coming up in the moonlight, like the bat signal. I always bow to the Wu-Tang. I'm always got that Wu-Tang energy. Remember that shit.
Ghostface Killah will be proud.
Fuck Ghostface, Raekwon, back to deck. You God, I hang with you God. You God, my man, all that shit. Wu, baby, all day. Fuck that.
Wow.
We out.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.